Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever encountered a complex system, maybe a business model or even like a weather forecast, and wished you had a universal way to describe how all its moving parts interact? What if you could write down a rule that applies to any number, any polygon, or any situation, rather than just, a specific instance? It's like finding the master key to a whole set of puzzles.
What's fascinating here is that mathematics offers precisely such a master key. Today we're taking a deep dive into the language of algebra, expressions using letter numbers.
Ah, the decoder ring chapter.
Exactly. This chapter acts as your personal decoder ring, revealing how variables, those powerful letter numbers, can, well, revolutionize how you describe patterns and solve problems universally.
That's our mission for this deep dive, then, to sort of distill this entire chapter for you, highlighting its absolute core concepts and the most important takeaways in a way that's engaging and easy to grasp. We'll show you why this isn't just for academic exercises. Algebraic expressions are like fundamental tools powering everything from calculating the optimal route for a delivery service to modeling how epidemics spread, or even crafting the physics engines in your favorite video games.
They really are everywhere.
They truly help us understand the dynamic connections within the world around us.
And we'll guide you through understanding what variables are, why they are so crucial, how to construct powerful expressions with them, techniques for simplifying those expressions, and how they become your best friend in identifying, predicting, and even proving universal patterns.
Okay.
This is fundamental knowledge that truly opens doors to countless exciting fields. And, deepens your understanding of how everything fits together.
So let's start with those foundational building blocks. Many of us first encounter them as letter numbers, but the chapter and, well, the mathematical world calls them variables. What exactly are they, and what's their fundamental purpose?
At their core, a variable is simply a symbolic placeholder, typically a lowercase letter like X or Y, that represents a value that can be unknown or that can change.
Okay.
Unlike a fixed number, say 5 or 10, the value represented by that letter isn't constant. For example, if C stands for the number of chocolates in a box, C could be 1, it could be 5, or even 100.
Right.
The key is they always represent numbers, and their flexibility is their power.
And why do we even bother with this abstraction? I mean, why not just stick to specific numbers? What's the strategic advantage of thinking in terms of X instead of, say, five?
Well, this raises an important question about the very essence of algebra, really. We use variables to generalize rules and relationships concisely. Think about the perimeter of any square.
Okay.
Instead of laboriously stating the perimeter of a square is 4 times the length of its side, every single time you describe a square, we can simply write PD4s.
TP4s, much shorter.
Exactly. P represents the perimeter, P represents the side length. This compact expression applies to any square, regardless of its size. It allows us to express universal mathematical truths and set up problems to solve for any unknown quantity.
That's where we start forming algebraic expressions, then. The chapter clearly defines an algebraic expression as a combination of variables, numbers, and arithmetic operations.
Yeah, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
Right. But here's the crucial distinction, isn't it? It doesn't contain an equality sign.
Precisely. No equal sign. It's a mathematical phrase, not a full sentence or equation that states two things are equal.
A phrase. Okay.
You're combining those versatile placeholders with numbers and operations to build these powerful phrases. For instance, the phrase five more than a number translates to n plus five,
Simple enough.
or three less than twice a number becomes 2 by 3. But you need to be careful. It's critical to pay close attention to the order when you're dealing with subtraction and division. 5 less than x is by 5, not 5x.
All right, the order matters there. Okay.
The position matters, yeah.
So we've crafted our phrases, our expressions, but what's the point of this language if we can't actually use it to reveal specific values? This is where evaluating expressions comes in, right? It brings the abstract tools to life. You just plug in the numbers.
Absolutely. This ability to evaluate is crucial for applying these expressions to real-life situations. Let's say Shyam is 3 years older than Rohit. If Rohit's age is represented by A, then Shyam's age is +3.
Makes sense.
Now, if we know Rohit is 18, we simply substitute 18 for A to find Shyam is 21.
You just swap it in.
Exactly. Or consider Parnav making NL shapes with matchsticks, with each L requiring 2 sticks. The expression for total matchsticks is 2n.
Okay.
To find out how many sticks are needed for 15 L shapes, we evaluate 2n when n 15, which gives us 30. It's about transforming that general rule into a specific answer when you need one.
You know, it's wild to think that using letters for unknowns wasn't always a given. Like, we're talking centuries of development to get to this seemingly simple notation that feels so natural now. What's the story behind that?
It really highlights how mathematical ideas evolve, doesn't it? Well, the very word algebra comes from the brilliant Al-Khwarizmi back in the 9th century.
Yeah, he laid the foundation.
He did, for systematic problem solving. But it wasn't until much later, the 16th and 17th centuries, with mathematicians like Viète and Descartes, that letters truly became these universal placeholders.
Wow, that late?
Yeah. Before that, I mean, imagine how clunky, complex equations must have been without a standardized way to represent unknowns. That shift was truly revolutionary.
So we understand what variables are, how to build expressions. Now that we have these powerful phrases, what are the essential rules for actually manipulating and working with them? It all starts with something most of us probably learned, the order of operations.
This is truly foundational. It's like the universal agreement on how to read mathematical instructions, whether you remember it as BODMAS or PEMDAS.
PEMDAS, yeah, I remember that.
Right. This rule dictates the precise sequence of operations to ensure everyone arrives at the same unique result from an expression. You always prioritize operations inside brackets or parentheses first.
Okay, P for parentheses.
Then orders or exponents, that's powers and roots, followed by division and multiplication, working from left to right.
And D.
And finally, addition and subtraction, also from left to right.
AS. Got it. PEMDAS.
Exactly.
Right. Like in the expression, 23 minus 10 multiplied by 2. You have to do the multiplication first, right? 10 times 2 is 20.
You must.
Then the subtraction, 23 minus 20 equals 3.
Perfect.
And parentheses or brackets, they're incredibly powerful because they override that natural order. So 5 multiplied by 2 plus 3 gives you 5 multiplied by 5, which is 25. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't have the parentheses, 5 multiplied by 2 plus 3 would be 10 plus 3 or 13. That's a huge difference.
A massive difference. Mm-hmm. And we have to be especially careful with negative signs when they're outside brackets. A frequent error is failing to distribute that negative sign to every single term inside.
Uh-huh.
For instance, 68 minus 18 plus 13 correctly simplifies to 68 minus 18 minus 13. Each term inside the bracket feels the effect of that negative.
Their negative gets shared. Okay. Speaking of those essential rules, there's another powerful one that often simplifies complex expressions, especially when we have terms multiplying sums inside parentheses. It's the distributive property, right? It feels like sharing in that multiplication. Can you break down why it's so crucial?
Oh, it's indispensable. The distributive property essentially says that if you have a term multiplying a sum or difference inside brackets, you distribute that multiplication to each term within those brackets.
Each one.
Every single one. So A multiplied by B plus C becomes A times B plus A times C. It's incredibly effective for expanding expressions. For example, 5x plus 2 expands to 5x plus 10.
Not 5x plus 2.
Definitely not 5x plus 2. Forgetting to distribute to all terms is indeed another common trap you want to watch out for.
Okay. And to make things even more compact, the chapter points out that we often omit the multiplication symbol in standard algebraic notation. So 4 multiplied by n just becomes 4n.
Right.
And A multiplied by B is simply Abe, which saves a lot of writing.
It absolutely does. Streamlines our expressions. The number written directly next to a variable, like the 4n, 4n, is called the coefficient, and it always implies multiplication.
Coefficient, got it.
However, here's a crucial reminder for you. We do not omit the multiplication symbol between two standalone numbers. 2 multiplied by 3 is never written as 23.
Huh. Right. Because 23 means 23. That would be confusing.
Very confusing.
That's a great point. So when evaluating these expressions where the multiplication symbols are omitted, you have to mentally or maybe even explicitly reinsert that multiplication.
Yes. You have to remember it's there.
Yeah.
If you have 7k and k equals 4, it means 7 multiplied by 4, which is 28. This convention makes algebraic expressions much more compact and efficient, but it requires that little mental step.
Okay. Think about organizing your shopping list. If you have, say, 3 apples and 2 bananas, and then you pick up 4 more apples and 1 more banana, you wouldn't keep them all separate in your head, would you? You'd naturally combine them and say you have 7 apples and 3 bananas.
Right. You group them.
Exactly. Algebra works exactly the same way when we simplify expressions.
That analogy leads us perfectly to the concept of, like, terms. Like, terms are expressions that have the exact same variables raised to the exact same powers.
Okay, exact same variables, exact same powers.
Exactly. The only thing that can differ between them are their numerical coefficients, the numbers out front. So 5x, 3x, and negus 10x are all like terms because they share the common variable x raised to the power of 1.
Right.
Constants, too, like 5 or negus 12, are also considered like terms with each other.
So our apples and bananas are unlike terms, just as x and u are unlike terms in algebra.
Precisely.
And even x and x are unlike terms because their powers are different. You can only truly combine things that are exactly alike.
That's spot on. You wouldn't try to add apples and oranges together to get a new fruit, right? Combining like terms means you add or subtract their numerical coefficients while keeping the variable part identical. It's actually an elegant application of the distributive property we just discussed.
Oh, interesting connection.
Yeah. So 5x plus 3x becomes 5 plus 3x, which simplifies to 8x. You're simply counting how many x's you have in total.
Just counting them up.
But a very common error, one you'll really want to avoid, is thinking x plus x equals x fair.
The classic mistake.
It is. That's incorrect. X plus x actually equals 2x. Remember, x fair means x multiplied by x, a totally different operation than addition.
Okay, 2x, not x squared.
Got it. And the distributive property reemerges as a key tool when we simplify expressions that involve brackets, right? Hmm. If you have a number or a variable multiplying a bracket, you apply that term to each term inside.
Precisely. Like 5a plus b becomes 5a plus 5b, you distribute 5 to both a and b.
And again, we need to be incredibly vigilant with those positive and negative signs outside brackets. If a plus sign precedes a bracket, the terms inside retain their original signs when the bracket is removed. Easy enough.
Right.
But if a minus sign precedes a bracket, the sign of every term inside changes when you remove the bracket.
Every single one changes.
Every single one. For example, the expression 50x plus 80, 8x plus 50y, simplifies to 50x plus 80y, 8 by 50y. See how the plus 8x became negus 8x, and the plus 15y became negus 15y.
Ah, yeah.
Then you proceed to combine the like terms, grouping the x's and the y's, resulting in 42x plus 65y. It's a systematic sort of three-step process. Remove brackets carefully, group like terms, then combine them.
Algebra is often referred to as the science of patterns, and this is where it gets really interesting, I think. From numbers growing in a sequence to the arrangement of shapes, patterns are literally everywhere in our world.
They really are.
And algebraic expressions are incredible tools for describing those patterns universally.
That's right. Instead of just stating the next number is 4 more than the previous one, which only describes the step-by-step change, we can use algebra to write a formula that generates any number in the sequence directly.
Any term, okay.
Yeah. We look for the relationship between consecutive terms, or more powerfully, how each term relates to its position, what we call the nth term. For a sequence like 4, 8, 12, 16,
yeah.
The rule is simply 4.
First term is 4 times 1, second is 4 times 2. Yeah.
Exactly. For 3, 5, 7, 9, the rule is 2n plus 1. It's about finding that underlying structure, the general rule.
One of my favorite challenges in this chapter are the number machine problems. You know, you're given a set of inputs and their corresponding outputs, and your task is to deduce the algebraic rule the machine is using.
Ah, yes, those are fun. They really test your pattern spotting skills.
The chapter offered a great example. If an input XY, like 6-2, results in an output of 16, or 10-3 gives 27, what's the mysterious rule? How do you even start with that?
Well, this truly demonstrates the power of logical deduction and hypothesis testing. How do you figure it out? You start by observing the relationships and then test your ideas. You look at how the X and Y might combine.
Trial and error, kind of.
A bit, yeah, but guided trial and error. For the example you just mentioned, after maybe trying a few simple combinations, you might consider multiplying X by some factor and then adjusting it with Y. Let's hypothesize the rules as 3XY.
Okay, let's test it.
4, 6, 2. 3 times 6 minus 2 equals 18 minus 2, which is 16. That works.
Sure.
For 10, 3. 3 times 10 minus 3 equals 30 minus 3, which is 27. Works again.
Yeah.
For 12, 1. 3 times 4 minus 1 equals 12 minus 1 equals 11 equals 11. Success. And for 12, 5. 3 times 12 minus 5 equals 36 minus 5 equals 31. It consistently works.
Amazing.
So the formula is indeed 3xy. This iterative process of testing and refining is a core skill you gain from algebra. It's like being a detective.
It really is. And then there are those surprising calendar patterns, because a calendar grid has such a fixed, predictable structure, like moving right adds 1 to the date, moving down adds 7, we can represent any date with a variable.
Yes, exactly. And this structure allows us to do something incredibly powerful. Prove universal properties, not just observe them for a few cases.
Prove them. How?
Okay. Take any 3x3 square on a calendar. Let the top left number be in.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
The numbers in the middle row would then be in plus 7 1 week later, n plus 8 middle number, and n plus 9.
Right.
Now, let's find the sum of these three numbers, n plus 7 plus n plus 8 plus n plus 9.
Yeah.
If you combine the like terms, you get 3n plus 24.
Okay, 3n plus 24 for the sum of the middle row.
Now, look at the number in the very center of that 3 by 3 square. That's n plus 8.
The middle one, yeah.
What happens if we multiply that center number by 3? We get 3n plus 8 using the distributive property.
Ah, distribute the 3.
Exactly. You get 3n plus 24.
Wow, it's the same. 3n plus 24.
Exactly the same. Because both expressions, the sum of the middle row and 3 times the center number, yield the same simplified form, we've proven that this relationship always holds true for any 3x3 square on any calendar, regardless of which month or where you pick the square.
That's amazing. This ability to verify relationships using algebra is a huge takeaway. It's way more than just observing a pattern. It allows us to mathematically prove it holds universally.
It's like discovering the underlying blueprint behind the apparent magic of numbers.
Yeah.
It gives certainty.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's talk about some of the trickiest spots, those common algebraic traps that often lead to those aha moments when you finally get them. The chapter highlights a few prevalent misconceptions. What's the first one that often catches people off guard?
One of the most common, definitely, is thinking 5x means 5 plus x.
Oh, right.
In algebra, when a number is written directly next to a variable without an operation symbol, it always signifies multiplication.
Yeah.
Always.
Multiplication. Okay.
So 5x means 5 multiplied by x. If x is 2, then 5x is 10, not 7. It's a fundamental convention you just have to internalize.
And another big one, a real classic, is confusing addition with multiplication when combining terms. What's the mistake people often make with x plus x?
Ah, yes, the misconception that x plus x equals xx ik. We touched on this, but it bears repeating. Remember, when you're adding like terms, you're simply counting them.
Counting them.
So x plus x is like having one x plus another x, which means you have two x's, or two x.
Two of them.
Right. X, on the other hand, means x multiplied by x. They are fundamentally different operations, and it's a crucial distinction to keep straight.
Okay. And then there's the distributive property, which we discussed earlier, but you mentioned it often gets misapplied. What's a common error there, like thinking 2x plus 3 equals 2x plus 3?
That's a perfect example of forgetting to distribute fully, forgetting to share the love, so to speak. The 2x outside the bracket must multiply every single term inside, not just the first one. So 2x plus 3 correctly expands to 2 multiplied by x plus 2 multiplied by 3 fit, which simplifies to 2x plus 6 fit.
2x plus 6. Got to hit both terms.
Always remember to share that multiplication with all the terms within the parentheses.
Finally, let's address the persistent problem of the negative sign outside the brackets. The chapter warns against errors like 10x plus 5 equals 10x plus 5. What's going on here, and why is this such a prevalent error that trips up even experienced learners sometimes?
Yeah, this one's sneaky. It connects directly back to distributing that negative sign, which you can think of as multiplying by negative 1.
Okay, like a hidden negative 1.
Exactly. When a minus sign precedes a bracket, it effectively multiplies every term inside by negative 1, changing the sign of every term when the bracket is removed. So 10x plus 5 correctly becomes 10 by 5. The plus 5 inside becomes minus 5 outside.
Both signs flip.
Both signs flip. Mastering these few common pitfalls will significantly solidify your understanding and honestly make a world of difference in your algebraic journey.
Okay, so what does all this mean for you, the listener, beyond this deep dive? Why should you truly care about variables and algebraic expressions?
Well, this knowledge is anything but academic. It has vast real-world applications. Think about how financial analysts create models to predict market trends. Or how data scientists analyze complex data sets to find insights.
Right. It's not just math class stuff.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You can write expressions for calculating costs and managing budgets, optimizing logistics for deliveries, or even modeling population growth. Engineers use them constantly to design intricate structures like bridges and predict a rocket's precise trajectory.
Wow.
Scientists rely on them daily to describe natural phenomena, formulate theories, and test hypotheses through experiments.
So algebraic expressions aren't just a set of rules. They're a fundamental skill, really. A powerful language.
Exactly. A language that underpins countless exciting careers, from software development and engineering to economics and scientific research. They truly help you decode the complexities of the world around you.
Giving you a powerful tool to describe relationships, solve dynamic problems, and even, as we saw, prove universal truths.
Precisely.
And there you have it, a deep dive into the fascinating and incredibly practical world of algebraic expressions using variables. We've uncovered how these simple letters become a concise, universal language, allowing us to generalize rules, simplify complex ideas, and even mathematically prove patterns.
Understanding these concepts really transforms you, doesn't it? You go from being just a solver of specific problems to a general pattern decoder. It's about building a versatile mathematical language that helps you think more critically and understand the underlying structure of information in almost any domain.
So, armed with this powerful new language, what unsolved mysteries in your daily life could you start to decode now? What everyday patterns might you try to describe using variables? We invite you to explore this new perspective on the world around you.
Because once you see the patterns, you can truly begin to understand and maybe even influence them.